Sunlight starts to illuminate the darkened earth. Shafts of bright light shoot up from the surface of the globe and pulsate as it spins in space. Land and blue sea become visible. In white lettering, the word Universal encircles the center of the spinning globe, fringed with flickering white light. www.universalstudios.com. A letterbox rectangle opens out to reveal wispy clouds in a blue sky. As the sky darkens, the words Studio Canal appear in another letterbox. The skies disappear, leaving the words on their own. A cluster of golden stones form in the shape of a spiral and hurtles through the sky. Words join the spiral to become the logo for Bord Scann an Héireann, the Irish film board, superimposed over a gyroscope effect. Working title.
A prima ballerina is a ballet dancer, the chief ballet dancer, the most important dancer of all, who dances all by herself.
Universal Pictures, Studio Canal and Working Title Films present in association with Bord Scann an Héireann, Irish Film Board, a WT2 Octagon production. As an electric polisher is pushed across a wooden floor, the film's title appears in front of it. Inside, I'm dancing. The words fade. The grey-haired woman with the polisher strolls sedately out of the room past a dark-haired woman in a wheelchair. The cleaner is wearing spectacles and has an apron top over her shirt, which hangs loosely over her trousers. She continues on into another large room occupied by a number of people, many in wheelchairs. One young man with short fair hair and sharp features stares intently out of a window. Others watch TV. The polisher bumps a wheelchair in which a young man with long dark hair sits. The cable drags behind. A woman bustles into the common room.
Morning. Anybody for Mass this morning?
The fair-haired young man turns his head.
Mass? No.
He spots the cable caught on the dark-haired guy's wheelchair.
Want to go to Mass, darling?
He indicates with his eyes. She picks up a book on his tray and opens it.
Read this.
One page has the letters of the alphabet in large print.
First line, first line.
Be
A,
careful.
B,
oh, my,
C,
my.
C.
Unwind that.
First line, second line, C, A. First line, second line, third line. First line, be calm.
So the mice pull the shoes under the window.
A woman carrying flowers.
Look at these, aren't they beautiful?
Heaven? Okay, but...
The flower bearer trips.
Annie! Annie!
The woman leaves Michael and rushes over to Annie, who's tripped on the cable.
Gave a big yawn. Settled down to sleep.
Yes, you can eat everything, right?
Michael screws up his face in frustration. A white minibus with Fantastic on its side drives up to a large red brick building, Carrickmore Residential Home, a special home for special people. Cars are parked at the entrance. The driver stops on a cobbled courtyard and opens the back doors of the minibus. The driver stands in front of what seems like a wire grill. Behind it, like a caged prisoner, a young man with spiky dyed blonde hair sits in a wheelchair, his head supported by a headrest. The grill, a ramp, is lowered. The bustling woman comes outside.
Hello, Rory. My name is Eileen Sheehy. Now, I hope you're quite at home with us here in Carrickmore.
You'll get me on front door key.
Oh, no, we don't give out front door keys here.
It's not home then, is it?
Hi, everybody. We have Rory O'Shea come to live with us for a little while. Now, just introduce yourself, Rory.
Rory O'Shea, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Besides the full vocal range, I have the use of two fingers off my right hand, sufficient for self-propulsion and self-abuse. You can shake me hand or kiss me arse, but don't expect me to reciprocate.
I don't tolerate coarse language here, Rory.
Rory retains his broad grin as Eileen moves away. He looks at the other residents, who in turn cast their eyes over him.
So is it always this much fun here? Is today somebody's birthday?
Annie, who tripped over the cable, opens a door to a room and Rory propels his chair into it. Behind him is a guy carrying a cardboard box. Rory grimaces.
Is the penthouse not available?
This is the only room that's vacant. People are queuing up to get in.
I'm dying to get out.
Michael peeps in from the corridor.
I suppose it's only a temporary arrangement.
Annie doesn't look at Rory. Night. A piece of hoisting equipment is wheeled along the corridor past the open door of Michael's room. Annie comes into him.
Would you like to go to bed now, Michael?
In a shower, Michael is sitting in his wheelchair while a member of the Carrickmore staff washes his feet and legs with soap and a sponge. She has one arm on Michael's shoulder for support. Later, Annie brushes his teeth as he sits in his pale blue dressing gown in front of a mirror. Annie takes the toothbrush out of his mouth and he spits out the water. In the corridor...
Not at all. I never hate you.
No, what? Not a whisper.
Annie and another woman, arms folded, stride off down the long corridor, illuminated by lights with green lampshades. The lights are switched off. A shaft of light enters Michael's bedroom from the window. He's lying asleep in his bed.
Dexter's in school.
I'm afraid he's not, Miss Fishbourne. Dexter's truancy problem is swear to hand. The Baltimore County School Board have decided to expel Dexter from the entire public school system.
Michael wakes and stretches out to press the alarm button. Another seven light up on a console. Eileen picks up a phone. Staff check the rooms as Eileen marches down the corridor. She enters Rory's room. He's lying on his back, awake.
Rory! You can't play loud music in the middle of the night. You don't respect people in this house.
They haven't earned my respect.
It's all right,
brother. It doesn't mean music. That's the fucking music! Look back at it to listen to that!
I'm going to continue
with
this disruptive behaviour. I'm just going to
have to take steps.
Fuck it, so fuck them! Get me own home soon anyway! Put it
well,
back!
Well, until you do, you're here, okay? And there are rules here now. Aggression, shouting...
Playing your stereo, singing in the middle of the night. No. Have you no consideration for the other people here?
Eileen, if they can hear me, at least they know they're fucking alive. Hey, if you're alive, shout. Shout if you're alive. Come on, free the Carrickmore fucking one. Come on, shout. Somebody shout. She's stolen my stereo. It's robbery.
Michael settles back down under his duvet. Day. Michael, struggling to hold his paintbrush, paints a bright red blob on a canvas. Beside him is the dark-haired guy, Tommy, with a brush in his mouth. A member of staff stands by Rory.
Are you going to paint something, Rory?
He looks away from her.
Give us that.
A mug with a straw is brought to his mouth. He sucks up red liquid. Then spits paint through the straw onto his canvas.
Finished.
Some of the red paint splashes over Michael and Tommy. Rory stares defiantly at them.
What are you looking at, Mary? Miss Swahili's a bit off the boil. Do you speak any English?
Tommy.
Use a card, for Christ's sake.
I'll take that, Tommy.
He's got the shelf with the alphabet printed on it. He can spell out words.
Does it take long?
Half the fucking day.
Language, Tommy.
Are you worth it? Are you worth the effort? When is there a mind in there?
Cerebral palsy. Fuck your brain. Don't expect Einstein.
And you'd be Stephen Hawking, would you?
There's nothing wrong with my brain. It's the rest of me that's bollocksed. Or me bike into a tree.
Is that your most intelligent act to date?
Fuck off, the party.
Tommy takes the brush back in his mouth and carries on with his painting. Michael wheels himself into Rory's room. There's a poster on the far wall which reads, "Warning, private property, keep out. Unless you have really big boobs." On a wardrobe door are a painting and some photographs. Michael stares at one of them and his eyes boggle. It's of Rory with two bikini-clad girls beside him. Michael's in physio. He lies on a couch.
Well done. Okay, all right there?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Now I'm going to take a few measurements for the sleep system we were talking about, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to try to get you straight as possible. Just relax there. Just try to relax there. Okay, Michael? And so left side, 40.
Rory wheels past the open door, then rolls himself back.
44.
Yeah.
He wheels himself up to the three staff members.
Right side, 39.
They ignore him as he circles them.
49. You all right, Michael?
Michael turns his head and sees Rory, who sticks his tongue in his cheek a couple of times and indicates the physio with his eyes. Michael turns his head away. The others look at Rory.
There he is.
Are you looking for something, Rory?
Rory makes his way round to the end of the couch by Michael's head. Michael, a scrawny young man, is dressed only in underpants.
Are you enjoying that, Michael?
You're all right, Michael. Do you want me to get your card?
No.
I'll get your card, Michael.
That's all right. You just want me to go away. He says I'm driving him up the wall. Love to see you try that one, Mary.
Did you understand what he said?
Yeah.
Michael gapes. Tommy.
Okay, smart boy. Guess who this is? Shrek Rolls of Golf, Goldfinger.
Rory's opposite him in the common room.
Emperor Hirohito of Japan.
Emperor? That's Roger Moore, you dope. Here, look. I have a good one for you.
Who am I being now?
Don't know, Tommy. Who are you being now?
Michael Connelly.
Michael zooms in.
How are you, Michael?
Yeah, I can understand you. How? Well, I spent 6 years in a class next to a kid that makes you sound like Laurence fucking Olivier.
What did he say now?
Rory grins.
I think he said you're a prick.
Tommy's face falls.
Ah, fuck off, the parodies.
God, look at you. Will I tell? Will I tell people what you say with my gift? My gift?
Rory, would you like to have your bath now?
Only if you wash my gift. Oh, Jesus.
He turns away.
Gift. I'll give you a fucking gift.
Annie follows Rory out of the common room, leaving Michael behind. A few drops of water trickle from a showerhead. Rory's head is covered in a towel as Annie pats his hair dry. She whips off the towel, leaving his hair flat.
Annie, the hair gel's in the bag.
I'm sorry, Rory. Mrs. Sheehy says we haven't the time to be teasing those spikes every day.
Rory watches grimly in the mirror as Annie pulls his wheelchair and him out of the shower room. Later, with blonde fringe hanging down over his forehead, he wheels himself down a corridor into the common room to join Michael.
Mary! Where? Look at that bitch Delilah's done to me. What are you laughing at?
In a bathroom, Michael's fingers are in the gel.
Not too much. You listening to me?
Yeah.
Start with the back of the head.
Michael struggles to raise his shaking hands up to Rory's head.
You know, you should think about spruising your image up a bit, Mary. It's all about the looks these days. Who buys your clothes for you?
Annie.
Yeah. Jesus. Have you ever looked at what she wears? You're not going to shop for yourself.
Michael looks surprised as he continues to rub the gel into the back of Rory's dyed blonde hair.
Yeah, I suppose you don't get out much, do you?
Oh, yeah.
What's out there? Out there's out there. And I should be out there. Don't you want to be like everyone else? You know, get drunk. Get arrested. Get laid. Huh?
Michael stares at Rory, then stretches over to the jar in the sink to put more gel on his fingers.
How long have you been living in places like this? All your life. What crime did you commit? Unarmed robbery.
Rory's face breaks into a smile.
Bit of a comedian, are we, Mary?
Annie's with Eileen.
This is a ketchup.
Eileen! See, you've had your hair done as well.
Eileen looks quizzically at Annie.
Sure fashion's a cruel mistress, isn't she?
Eileen walks out to the corridor to see him disappearing down it. She turns towards the bathroom to see Michael come out with spiky hair. It's visiting day at Carrickmoor. Some of the residents are playing draughts. Others are at tables with friends and relations. Trays of tea are offered round. As a member of staff walks out with a sponge cake on a plate, she passes Michael, who's sitting all alone in front of the television. His hair is now flattened, and he looks sadly through to the room, where everyone else seems happy and chatting away. Rory's showing his father Con out of his room.
Very cosy, son.
Good for now. Hey, can we meet my friend, Dan? This is Hugh Grant.
Pleased to meet you, Hugh. How are you doing?
Con looks at Rory.
He says he likes your hat.
Oh, well, it's funny you should mention this hat, but that's a long story. Well, this is a fine, big room you have here, Hugh. Fair play to you. Oh, they're lovely. Did you do them yourself?
Dad, are you coming for a cup of tea or what?
Oh, right, son.
Well,
see you later, Hugh.
Nice fella.
They leave, and Michael moves over to the door to watch them go. Outside, Rory's father, who's a balding man with long straggly hair down to his shoulder and unshaven, holds up a can of Guinness with a straw for Rory to drink. Rory sucks thirstily. His dad lowers the can.
Did you see them on Wednesday?
Nah. They don't have cable here.
I watched it in Mullins.
Did you, yeah?
They're very leaky at the back. And they've no width. None at all.
Rory seems bored and stares into space. His father looks around the garden, then up at his son.
This is better than the last place.
Rory bites his lip.
They're all the same.
How's your breathing?
In and out.
Con stares at the table, then raises his head.
You know, if you wanted to come back home, son...
I'm all right, Dad.
It'd be no trouble.
I'm all right.
Rory gives his father a sideways glance. Con stares him in the eye and turns his head away, looking at the ground.
Dad.
Con lifts his head up.
You couldn't lend us some money, could you? I want to buy a seat.
Con stares at Rory, sighs and half smiles. Michael's watching TV in his room. He turns to Rory.
My dad. Did you have a good look at him? You barely look after himself. What about you? Where are your parents?
Michael lowers the volume on the TV with the remote in his lap. He flicks a switch on the arm of the wheelchair and spins round. He struggles to open a book full of newspaper cuttings resting on his bed. Rory reads one. Connolly to represent Fianna Fáil TD in corruption case.
Fergus Connolly. Is that your dad?
Michael nods his head.
Has he come to see you?
Michael's head is still. Then he shakes it.
And your mother? She died and he dumped you. What a bastard.
Michael looks distressed as he stares at Rory.
Does he know he has a secret fan club?
Michael, Rory and Danny are out in...
Help the poor unfortunates earn your place in heaven. You buy a cripple, a Harley Davidson, you reduce the dependent population.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you? Give us some money. Man, you've got lovely legs.
A young woman gives Michael some change.
It's a Roy's offer. I saw her first. You filthy mongrel.
Thanks a lot, now. You're very good. Thank you.
Well, I've had more girlfriends than you've had speech therapy sessions, so...
Thanks very much.
Well, I'm not exactly built for long-term relationships, no.
Anyhow, what about you? Have you ever had your own away?
You're saving yourself for the big wedding night, are you? Very romantic, Michael. Follow me, and I'll show you some real romance.
Rory sets his wheelchair in motion. Michael, dressed like Rory, with an orange baseball cap and yellow fluorescent bib, looks this way and that before setting off in pursuit. Annie, bucket in hand, strolls up, taking some time to realise they've gone. With their bucketfuls of money, Rory and Michael are in a pub.
Yeah, this'll do. Have you seen anyone you fancy?
Michael looks around and sees only guys. Then Rory spots two girls across the bar sitting at a table. A grin spreads across his face.
Over there. Keep your mouth shut. I'll do the talking.
Michael follows Rory's gaze. Rory sets off. Michael tags along.
Congratulations, girls. You've been chosen Cripple Companions of the Month. I'm Rory, this is Michael, and we come bearing treasure in our laps.
I've got a badge already, actually.
Here's the deal. We buy the drinks. You hold them for as hell as that's it.
The girls look at each other.
Sounds all right.
Excellent. You can take it out of this. No. It's for funding the needs of the disabled. I'm disabled and I need a drink. Life is dishonest, Michael.
The girls' smiling features fade as they listen to Michael's efforts at speech. A tray of drinks with straws and umbrellas is brought to their table. One girl takes a glass to Rory. She holds the glass for him to drink from. The other girl holds out a glass and Michael leans forward, getting the straw in his mouth. His eyes grow wide. He splutters a little, but swallows a lot. More drinks are bought at the bar from the money in the collection buckets. A waitress brings them over. The two girls are now wearing the baseball caps.
We're in a show. He sings, I dance.
I don't believe it.
Well, you better believe me.
What's it about?
Well, it's about these two guys in wheelchairs, and they're not much to look at. Well, he's not, but my character, he's quite handsome, really. And they go in a pub, and they meet these two girls, and they kiss them, and the girls fall in love with them. And they take them home.
Thanks for the drinks, lads. We have to head off.
Come on, now.
I wanted to hear the end of the story. This is the end of the story. Come on.
Come on, I'm just getting to the good bit.
I can't go anywhere. Locked. I can barely stand up.
Well, you can't be as bad as us. Sure, we're legless. Hey, do you like that? There's more where that came from.
The girl near Rory looks at him.
With lovely eyes.
They're my second best feature.
Nice.
Nice.
She leans forward and kisses him on the lips. Her pal is shocked. She gapes at Michael. He looks up at her expectantly. The first girl slowly pulls back and eyes Rory flirtatiously. The second tries to get past Michael, who puckers his lips. The girl leans forward and pecks him on the cheek, then quickly moves away.
See ya.
Michael grins broadly. Rory wheels up to him.
Good, don't tell you. Hey? Same again?
Michael nods. Rory swivels round, bumping a guy.
Oh! Watch where you're going.
Oh, you're all right, mate. None of it went on me.
You know, if I was in a wheelchair, pal, I wouldn't go looking for trouble.
You start?
Michael joins Rory.
His mother sucks what in her?
Come here, you.
The guy grabs Rory.
What are you like? Picking on a fella in a wheelchair.
The guy squares up to the blonde who dragged him from Rory.
Fuck it. He's not worthy. You're right.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Stop provoking him. If he'd have hit you in the mouth, he'd have nothing left that works.
I have a part or two below that, Mike. Give him the right stimulus.
Rory grins.
He wants to know your name.
Siobhan.
Here you, Siobhan. He's Michael. I'm trouble.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, listen, Siobhan. Do you think you could help a poor cripple out of a bit of a predicament?
Depends on the predicament.
Honestly, I need somebody to unzip me pants. They're out the hose at the fire.
Jeez. Michael here wants to go home.
That isn't what I had in mind.
Yeah, well, your mind isn't difficult to read.
She drops a coin and goes.
Hey, hey, listen, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Staying out of trouble. So should you.
Where's the fun in that shit? We'd never have met you. Beautiful. Yes, it is.
Two bouncers stand outside a club called the DNA.
There he is.
Sorry, lads. The goblins, round to the right.
Not come to Boogie.
Not with them boots, you know.
Well, is that the club talker or is that you?
Hey, on this door I am the club, right? Is he all right?
He says you're in breach of EU directive. 739 section 6B. Discrimination against persons with disability. Places of public entertainment. It's a €2,000 fine. Payable by the official denying entry. That's you, pal.
A policeman passes.
How are you, guard? Look, I don't want any trouble from the law, right?
Well, you just bought yourself a load. My friend here is a barrister.
Michael spins round. The first bouncer, wearing a black woolen hat, turns to his burly mate.
Did you just make that up?
Michael nods.
A little legal genius.
The bouncer.
Right, inside. But remember, for future reference, wheelchair night's Monday night, right? Give me a bit of fucking warning.
Michael and Rory are side by side in the club, watching the dancers gyrate and move about on the floor. Rory's entranced by a long-haired brunette in a silver miniskirt and crop top. He wheels past her into the centre of the dance floor and spins around, laughing. Michael follows him tentatively. Rory spins round and round to eye up the leggy, shapely girls dancing. He spots Michael grinning at him as he spins.
Come on now, Michael! Come and dance with me! Sure, dance! What do you think I'm doing inside?
My Michael's eyes move away from Rory to the gorgeous, smiling Siobhan who's dancing behind him, gyrating and waving her arms to the music, with her long blonde hair cascading down her back. Michael's eyes widen and he breathes in deeply. 'Cause looking back it was easy. It's Rory's turn to follow Michael's gaze, and he wheels his chair around to see Siobhan. He grins broadly.
Look who it is.
He watches as she dances with her hands on her thighs, shakes her hips, then thrusts her arms into the air. Rory twirls in a clockwise direction, and Michael soaks in the atmosphere. Michael moves closer to Rory, and they spin round in a circle together. Outside it's raining. The two lads are under a bridge. Michael's relieving himself.
Are you okay?
No.
Well, piss faster.
Rory grimaces and closes his eyes.
Yoga.
Yeah. It was wet anyway.
Michael straightens himself up in his chair. They move into the rain.
I've got enough money for a taxi.
They set off down a tree-lined street.
Show me the way to Carrigmore.
Annie upends Michael's almost empty bucket. Eileen, her face like thunder, glares at the two lads.
I'm sorry, Eileen. I told Michael that we should be getting back here, that you'd be worried about us, but he insisted that we stay. Well, that's what I heard, Michael. Yeah, let's face it, you're not that easy to understand sometimes. You have to agree, Eileen.
Michael nods.
The collection had to be abandoned because of you.
She turns from Rory to Michael.
And as for you, Michael, I am just so disappointed in you. You have never been any trouble before.
It was my fault, Eileen. I led him astray and I've disgraced myself.
Yes, you have.
So if you just change me underpants, we'll say no more about it.
Michael convulses with laughter. Eileen's unamused. Both lads are being sponged down in the showers by staff. Day. Michael is sitting in the common room, apart from everyone else, when Rory zooms in wearing a suit, shirt and tie. Michael looks round at him.
So, I'm going out. Yeah, of course you can come. Do you possess a suit?
The two in suits wheel themselves into a grand stone building through its central portico.
Rory O'Shea.
They're ushered into a well-appointed office by a secretary in a trouser suit.
Hello again, Rory.
They stop in front of three people.
This is Michael Connolly. He's my lawyer.
Oh, right. Okay, well, this is your third application for the independent living allowance. Your previous applications were refused on the grounds that you were unsuited for self-regulation and lacking responsibility for the employment of others. Would you like to tell us what's changed since your last application?
Yeah. I'm learning that I have a lot of energy and I'm coming to terms with learning to control that energy and use it for constructive, productive purposes. And I think that's progress. I think that's progress.
A second panel member.
Rory, you know our funds are very limited.
Yeah.
And we have to disperse them in the wisest way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm afraid that we've heard a story concerning the mishandling of some collection money.
Michael turns his head away and gazes at the floor.
Rory, it's just this scheme demands a level of maturity and responsibility from its candidates.
Oh, come on, don't lecture me about maturity. I'm not fucking cheese.
We're just not sure that independent living is the best choice for you at this time.
Choice?
Is this an application or is a choice already been made?
Can I suggest we meet again in 6 months to review the situation?
No, look, under EU Directive 5096, discrimination against persons with disabilities. It means you have to do what I say. It's a 2,000 euro fine, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a 15,000 euro fine.
The chairman of the panel stares at Rory. Then all three members lower their eyes. The chairman shuffles his papers. Rory, his features lacking their usual confidence, watches him.
Look, all I'm asking for is a chance to live in my own home.
Oh, we agreed on 6 months.
6 months?
6 months, Rory, it's not that long.
Some fucking lawyer you are.
They both turn to leave.
Open the door!
It's a clear day over Carrickmore.
Leave me alone, Michael.
No, man.
It's not okay, Michael. I have to get out of here. I'm gonna fucking die!
Michael trails behind Rory in the corridor. Rory goes to his room and shuts the door. Michael shut in the corridor. A singer performs in the common room.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Lovely to see everyone here enjoying themselves.
Michael and Rory are po-faced.
Hi, Annie. One false move and I'm yours. Sing this one. Here we go. He's got the little pretty baby in his hands. He's got the little pretty baby in his hands. He's got the little pretty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Michael and Rory share a look. In Eileen's office, Michael presents her with an independent living application. She scowls at him.
Michael, have I done something to make you unhappy here? No?
He stops shaking his head and studies her.
Independent living isn't for everyone, you know. You certainly won't get the level of care that you're used to here.
He stares at her, unflinching.
If anything should happen to you, oh, God forbid, but if anything should happen to you, Michael, I won't be there.
Rory's dictating to Annie.
This appeal is based on the grounds that I am a marked man.
Slow down.
Can't slow down. Type faster. Right, you've rejected my application 3 times on the unsupported word of interfering dried-up old bitches that wouldn't know responsibility if I bit them on their fat arses.
You might want to rethink the phrasing of that, Rory.
Yeah, I do. It needs to be punchier. Now type it.
Michael rolls up.
Hey, it's Judge Mumbles. What are you after?
Now, Michael Connolly.
Ah, Michael, come in.
Michael's in front of the panel. Rory's behind him.
Rory, if you don't mind, it's Michael's application we're hearing.
Oh, you'll hear it. You won't understand it.
Rory, can you wait outside, please?
I think that between us, we've enough experience of applicants with speech difficulties to be able to manage without you. Thanks, Rory.
Rory goes.
Now, Michael, the purpose of this chat is to assess what you believe the philosophy to be behind independent living.
The chairman nods blankly and smiles. Completely baffled, he turns to the woman on his left, then drumming his fingers to the colleague on his right. All three look mystified. Rory's back.
Independent living allows me to grow and mature as a person. It helps me fulfill the potential within myself. Which is not always realised by institutional living. That opens the way for me to make a real contribution. And to live a fuller life.
Thank you, Michael. That's a very good answer.
Michael, you appreciate that we'll pay for a personal assistant, but you'll need to find your own accommodation if you found somewhere to live.
Michael nods. Rory raises his brows.
Okay, well, in that case, I think we can approve your application.
There is just one concern, Michael. Your decision not to use speech aids. Do you not think that's going to make things harder in the long run?
I don't need speech aids. As I will have a full-time live-in interpreter.
Rory smiles.
I'm sorry, who?
Rory O'Shea.
The panel members stare.
Two for the price of one.
Outside.
Those answers?
Laughing, Michael turns to Rory.
You read their brochure back to them. Oh, that's genius.
They set off down the pavement.
All we need to do now is get a flat.
They look through the property section of the newspaper.
How much?
And also, the neighbours are very nice.
Are they quiet?
Very quiet, indeed, of course.
Excellent. You're really going to like this guy.
The letting agent climbs stairs.
Hey! There's a bit of a problem. Can you guess what it is?
It's a second floor apartment to let. The agent looks embarrassed.
It's a shame, you would have loved the view.
On a payphone.
400 a month. Yeah, that's two bedroom flats, city centre, yeah? Excellent. What's that? 400 a week. Right, Stuart. Well, we'll have a think about it and we'll get back to you. All right. Bye-bye.
Michael takes the phone from Rory's ear and gets it back onto the cradle. Rory looks distracted and gazes into space.
Listen, Michael. Do you really want to leave Carrigmore?
Michael looks at Rory, then turns his head away. He sits pensively for a moment.
Would you be prepared to do anything you could?
Michael stares at him. Statues and columns. In the centre stand a barrister and solicitor. There are other people milling about the splendid surroundings as the two lads whiz in. Rory leads the way and addresses a barrister in a gown and wearing white cotton bands hanging before a wing collar.
Fergus Connolly.
It's just in here.
The lads manoeuvre themselves into an office.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Michael Connolly to see Fergus Connolly.
Do you have an appointment?
He does, but he's a bit late.
What time is it for?
1981. Traffic was murder.
I'm sorry, Mr. Connolly is not here.
Michael hears voices from behind a door.
Really? Fergus Connolly! Fergus
God.
Connolly!
I'm
Fergus
sorry,
Connolly,
gentlemen,
come
I'm going
Fergus
to have to ask you to leave.
Come on!
That there is a cause of a disturbance.
Fergus, it's lovely to meet you. I'm Rory O'Shea. This is Michael Connolly.
Fergus, a tall, bald man, stares with trepidation at Michael.
We've come to report a blatant case of criminal neglect.
Fergus, a glass of champagne in his hand, sees the Garda and others in the doorway.
It's all right, Garda, I'll handle this. Thanks, Sylvia. Come on in.
Fergus backs into his chambers where two men are watching.
George, see you later in Nesbitt's. Bye-bye. 7 o'clock.
The two men leave after the lads enter. Fergus sets down the champagne on his desk. The lads look round.
It's a nice room.
Fergus's face is grim and his eyes flit uneasily. He glances up at Rory.
What do you want?
Try asking him.
Michael stares at his father, who turns his head away from him.
Go on, he's waiting for you.
Michael sees a framed photograph behind his father. It's of Fergus and Michael's brother on his graduation. Both are smiling. His father has his arms on the young man's shoulders. Fergus sees what Michael is looking at and moves to block the photograph from Michael's view.
He thinks you've nothing in your head, Michael.
Michael stares defiantly at his father.
Tell him.
Michael looks away from his father. He struggles to find words. Fergus looks at his son as Michael's face contorts with the effort. Michael's head droops and he stares at the floor.
He's shy. And he's proud. Michael didn't even want to come here today. And for some strange reason, he felt it was demeaning to be seeking out the gobshite that flushed them at birth. I had to persuade him.
Fergus flinches and turns his head away. Michael raises his head. Fergus looks at him.
What do you need from me?
Ground floor flat. Two bedrooms. Wheelchair access. Michael needs a home.
What then?
Michael puffs out his cheeks. Rory watches him, then his eyes move from Michael to Fergus.
You get what you had before we came in.
Michael looks horrified and tries to speak, but nothing comes from his mouth. He gazes at Rory, then at his father, whose expression is cold and pitiless.
Okay.
With his innocent face illuminated by light from a window, Michael leans his head back as tears fill his eyes. Outside, it's pouring with rain. The two lads sit in a bus shelter overlooked by the statue of St. Francis, holding a dove to his breast. Michael is sulky and miserable. Rory doesn't look at him.
It wasn't planned as a joyful family reunion. We went there to blackmail the bastard, mission accomplished. We got a home out of it. Somewhere we can live. And you better take it, Michael, or we're both fucked. Trust me, Michael. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.
The bus stop is by a church, behind which stands the court building they've just left. A sign, "Drive Dead Slow," is at the entrance of a car park serving four-storey blocks of insalubrious flats. A foreman wearing a hard hat greets Rory and Michael.
Big lads, steer yourself. Come on in now till I show you.
The lads wheel into a ground floor flat.
Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing.
Hey, bedroom number one. Bathroom.
This one. This one's mine. This one's mine.
Shower, the whole shebang.
The flat's being renovated.
Kitchen. Lefty.
The workman leaves.
Yeah, well, you're not cons there for you. A few bits and pieces still to go in. And the living room. Lovely colours. Mm. Now, the lighting can be voice activated. I'll show you this switch here if you want to use it. On.
The lights come on.
Off.
Off they go. The foreman raises his arms. Nothing happens. The foreman in check shirt and fluorescent jacket shifts uneasily.
Right, well, so there's nothing else. I leave the keys with you boys, right? Lefty. Lefty, is that my paper?
The foreman leaves the two lads alone.
No rules.
There's an impish glee in Michael's face.
No rules, no Delilah.
No interfering old bitches.
No interfering old bitches, it's just you and me in cripple heaven.
In a job centre under vacancies, there's a card for a personal assistant. The lads interview a burly man.
So after 16 years military service, I felt the change was required. I want to do some humanitarian work. Sorry, but could you straighten up while I'm talking to you?
Well, now, aren't you great lads for giving us a bash? Trying it on your own, why not?
Jesus loves you, Michael. Jesus loves you, Rory. My work with you people would be an expression of that love.
A senior citizen's in the hot seat.
I'll have to push you two fellas around all day.
Spaghetti bolognese, that sort of thing. Yeah? Well, I have a recipe for that.
Have you any hero wheat cookies? Wait for cookies. Lekker.
So the three of us will have a great laugh and great fun to be around.
The rather camp man slides back on the chair with a grin. Another young man with neat, short red hair, wearing a woolen round neck pullover and large spectacles, clutches a mug and glares at the two interviewers.
Do you ever dress up? I mean, as animals or whatever. No. Not really. We could, though, you know.
No, I have a real problem with that.
They're out on the street.
Jesus, there's no way you'd work with us. You know, something just makes you feel sick.
Michael spots something and stops. Rory carries on.
Yeah.
Michael's eyes are fixed across the street on Siobhan, who saunters along, a pair of trainers in one hand and her other hand in the pocket of the blue leather jacket she's wearing. Her hair is pulled back. Rory reverses and turns to watch her. In a supermarket, she pushes a trolley of pot noodles.
Siobhan, have you not done those pot noodles yet? Come on, get a move on.
In her short skirt and just above the ankle boots, she climbs some steps at the end of a row of shelves and works on a display of pot noodles. The lads approach her in a pincer movement, down the two aisles leading to the display. They turn and stop either side of her. She glances at Michael, then at Rory.
How are you?
No. I'm not qualified.
You've got the best qualifications we've seen in a long time.
Really?
Definitely.
They're in a coffee shop. She's munching cake.
I already have a job.
Yeah, you do, stacking shelves.
It's temporary.
As she munches into her cake, her eyes flit from Rory to Michael.
Who would I be working for?
Me.
Michael reacts.
Him. Me and him. Oh, come on, we'd be no trouble. I mean, he can hardly talk and I'm pretty quiet myself.
Oh, jeez, I don't know. Never done anything like this before.
Excellent. Neither have we.
At Carrickmore, Tommy is watching a cartoon on the TV when he sees Siobhan carrying a cardboard box through the common room. She winks as she passes him. He spins round to ogle her as the two lads appear, one on either side of him.
We're fucking off. The pair of us.
With who?
Michael nods.
Good man.
Siobhan, her hair in pigtails, and a male member of staff carry the lads' boxes past a severe-looking Eileen and Annie.
Seems.
Hey, Delilah.
Hey, look, well, we've paid our debt to society. We've learned our lesson. You won't be seeing us back.
Michael leads the way.
Michael, a little something for you.
A card.
And you know that if things don't work out for you, that you're always welcome here. You know that. Goodbye, Michael.
Michael heads out.
Goodbye, Rory.
Rory moves closer to Eileen and Danny.
I know we haven't always gotten along, Eileen. And if I've said or done anything to offend you at any time, then I'm good.
Eileen fumes. Annie doesn't look at her. The exhaust of the Carrickmore residential home minibus splutters. Michael looks out of the window as Eileen, arms folded, stands at the front door.
Can I hold in them tears?
Michael looks downcast as the minibus rolls down along the drive, past the waving staff and residents. He takes a long look at the large red brick mansion, set in its splendid manicured gardens. The bus turns onto the road. Suddenly a smile breaks all over his face. He turns to Siobhan, who's also smiling. The irrepressible Rory beams brightly. The minibus takes them to their flat. They wheel in, carrying boxes of personal belongings.
Hey, this is all right.
Yes, good, isn't it? It's bigger than it looks.
Where'll I put this?
I can just stick it in there on my bed.
She takes the box to his room.
Hey, they've delivered the telly.
That's a big bed for a little man.
He follows her into his bedroom. She holds up a CD.
Raging Speedhorn.
Yeah, stick it on, make us a cup of tea.
In a supermarket, Michael points to champagne.
Oh, champagne. Fantastic.
Siobhan takes two bottles.
All right, Siobhan, we'll have some Cortamona goat's cheese, we'll have some Cashew Blue, we'll have some St. Brendan Brie and some of the Holy Swiss stuff. Is that foie gras? Hey, excuse me, we'll have some foie gras. We'll have some venison pâté. We will have some truffles.
At the checkout, their purchases are being rung up. It's a large shop. Siobhan is by the assistant. Rory and Michael watch.
Now, that's €415.28, please.
At the flat, Siobhan feeds Rory pot noodles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. This spicy one's really good. Michael, you should try this one.
Michael's sucking champagne through a chain of straws. Rory's on a hoist.
Okay. All right. You're
right.
You
just gotta lift it up now.
Yes.
Come on now.
Okay. You're comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're doing really good.
You're being sarcastic. Yeah. Fuck you.
No, yeah, honestly.
Okay. You all right?
Kinda.
An iron's been left on.
That's not right. Sorry, I'm sorry, that's not right.
Michael's in the bathroom.
Wait a minute. Oh, fuck it, we got... this is one more boss.
Sorry, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're okay?
Yeah, on we go.
Okay, here we go.
He tries to brush his own teeth. He drops the cap of the toothpaste, but struggles on. He squeezes the toothpaste onto the brush with two hands, then picks up the brush. He hits the long handle tap turning on the water and hits it again to regulate the flow. He gets the electric toothbrush to his mouth.
Oh, right, wait. I'll be back in a minute.
What? Hey, Siobhan.
Okay, I'm back.
you leaving me to hang about here or what?
Okay. Yeah. Siobhan rescues the toothbrush, then spots the iron.
Oh, fuck! Shit!
Down goes the brush again.
Would you come and put me to bed?
Siobhan and the two lads are by a pond in a park.
Yes.
You have a boyfriend?
I used to. Did I what?
Did you love him?
Yeah.
Did you want to marry him?
I never really thought about it.
Ah, come on now, Siobhan, did he break your little heart?
Do you want to go under a bus?
No, would you like to go under a wheelchair?
Yeah, shut up, Rory.
Yeah, shut up, Rory.
Here, listen to this. I really like this song.
She's with Rory in his room. Standing slightly to one side of him, she shapes his hair with her fingers.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Be born like this.
Like what?
I heard my
dodgy hair and shit taste of music. Today.
He smiles.
No, that's something I've had to work long and hard at.
Michael steers himself to the doorway and looks in to see Siobhan stroking Rory's hair. They both notice him watching. The only thing that's real. Siobhan leans a hand on an arm of the wheelchair and another on her hips.
Will I do your hair?
Michael grins and backs away as she moves across towards him. He about turns and she follows him, leaving Rory on his own.
But I remember everything.
Rory seems reflective as he listens to the music. Siobhan is teasing her fingers through Michael's hair. He looks up at her with his puppy dog unblinking eyes.
Everyone I know goes away.
When she walks away, he follows her with his eyes. She returns with a small compact mirror and holds it out in front of him. He raises his eyebrows and grins. She moves the mirror one way, his head follows it, and then the other way.
I will let you down.
Day. Children play on a maypole, a boy chases pigeons, an elderly woman watches from a walkway, and three boys on scooters and a girl pushing a pram come across to Rory sitting outside the flat.
Mister, are you a goblin?
No, I'm not a fucking goblin.
Is that an electric chair?
Yeah.
Bet it's not as fast as my scooter.
Rory glances at the scooter.
How much money have you got?
Later, all five are lined up.
All right, listen, it's really important. There's no cheating, so nobody go till I say go. You right? Ready? Steady, go!
Rory sets off on the ready. The kids, three on scooters and the girl pushing the pram, chase after him along the car park outside the flats.
Get your hand in your pocket, boys. They're going down.
Other kids cheer as Rory's overtaken. He's in last place, even trailing the little girl with the pram. He takes a shortcut by the bins and gets back in front. They come to a bumpy surface. The boy in front falls off his scooter. Rory's back in the lead. The kids set up a finishing line. The battery of Rory's wheelchair gives way inches short of the line.
You cheated, and we still beat
you. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Next point, baby face.
Inside, Siobhan flicks through a dictionary and points to a word.
Compound. Go again.
They're at the breakfast table. Rory's in bed.
Hello?
Siobhan and Michael are both smiling.
Beast.
Siobhan!
Siobhan and Michael continue their word game.
Hello, hibernating. Is this me now to spring?
What is that? I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, all right. Make yourself a cup of tea while I'm waiting, will I?
If you like.
Rory presses one of the keys on the hi-fi remote. Siobhan rises and marches through to Rory's bedroom.
Hey! This is my room. That's my music. I want to listen to it, so turn it back on.
This may be your room, but it's his flat. We need to have some rules here, Rory.
Rules? What's your rules?
God, he's a moody bollocks, isn't he?
I came here to get away from rules. I won't have you imposing any on me.
He's the best.
Michael, tell her to come back here. Teach her the fucking word,
but
come back here.
Siobhan! What?
Listen, it's not your job to make rules. Your job's to do exactly what we tell you to do. I do the interpreting, you do the cleaning, making the tea, cleaning up after us. You're our servant, Siobhan.
With a sly grin, she strolls over to him.
Our skivvy. Our slave.
Are you going to shut up, or am I going to have to make you?
I'd like to see you try.
She claps a hand over his mouth.
Just remember, you're a servant too. Mr. Interpreter.
She removes her hand and walks out, leaving Rory lying on his back, open-mouthed.
Okay then, where were we?
Wearing a plastic apron, she gives Michael a shower.
Will you hold that, Michael?
He takes the shower head in his hands. Siobhan, standing in the large blue tile shower, reaches up for a bar of soap. She rubs it in her hands, then starts applying it to Michael's left shoulder. Michael glances at her and smiles as she carefully soaps the length of his arm, then his curled hand. She leans across him to gently wash his other shoulder. Her bosom is at his eye level. He gazes up at her. With a tender smile, Siobhan's soapy hands slide down his right arm and over his hand. As Michael watches her, his eyes widen, his mouth twitches and he looks embarrassed. She looks at him and nods. Rory's sitting in his wheelchair in the living room waiting for them. Michael's in his dressing gown. Siobhan looks uncomfortable.
I'll be back in a minute.
Her head down, she walks out of the room. Rory's eyes flit to Michael. He then turns his chair to face him.
What's the matter with you?
Michael, looking downcast, waves an arm.
Did you get hard on? Come on! What did you do?
Mortified, Michael wheels himself back into the bathroom. Day. The sun shines on the grim block of flats. Outside, it's quiet and peaceful. Michael's inside, staring out of a window.
Oh! Did you see that, Michael? That was life passing you by. Come on, let's go out. You're waiting for Siobhan. What for? Come on, what are you going to do? You're going to sit in here and have her do everything for you? Come on, let's go out.
Michael returns his gaze to the window.
Fun, see you later.
Know what you're doing?
Building a little carg more for yourself.
Rory wheels himself out. Michael solemnly watches him through another window, but doesn't move. Rory's wheelchair is spinning around on the spot in the car park outside the flat. Sitting in it is a boy with fair hair. He's wearing trainers, jeans, a grey hooded top and a red tracksuit top over that. Michael comes out and sees him. The boy stops spinning and starts to move the chair forward and spurts and starts. Michael moves over to him. He stops beside the boy.
You're looking for your friend? He'll be back in a minute.
A BMW saloon speeds around the corner, frightening the pigeons strutting on the ground. As they take to the air, a police car comes onto the estate. The BMW pulls up just in front of Michael. It's full of kids and Rory's in the front passenger seat. All the kids skedaddle. A policeman grabs Rory.
No car! Fuck, you get out with me, come on!
You're going to be crippled tonight!
Give me a break, man! Look out! Look, that's my chair!
Get out of the car!
It's my fucking chair!
Michael indicates the empty chair. The sergeant stares at it.
Who's in charge of you?
Hey, shut the No fucker's in charge of me.
Hey, Park, put him back in his chair. Get this car towed out of here.
Hey, aren't you going to arrest me?
No.
That's discrimination. Look, you're only doing that because I'm disabled. It's me civil right to be arrested.
Look, just give me your name and address. We leave it at that, all right?
You'll have to kick it out of me, you bastard.
The sergeant nods to a colleague.
Hey!
What?
Rory's a what?
Siobhan, who's just arrived at the flat, goes to the police station.
Hi.
Yeah?
I'm looking for Rory O'Shea. He's in a wheelchair.
Oh, him? Yeah, we let him go about half an hour ago.
Oh, what?
I offered to take him home, but he wouldn't come.
She leans on the front desk.
Did he say where he was going?
No.
It's getting dark. Rory's driving his wheelchair on a bridge over the river. A kid runs past in the opposite direction. The kid stops, about turns, runs up to Rory and whips off his hat.
Hey! Hey! Listen to that fucking shit! Give me my hat back! Give me my fucking hat or I'll kill you! Come on, I'll run you over, you little... Fuck! Hey! Come here!
I'm fighting this fuck!
After teasing Rory, the kid runs off.
Hang for the hat!
Aglom, Siobhan and Michael are in the flat's kitchen.
This is the Midnight News with Owen O'Brien. Six non-nationals were in custody tonight following the seizure of chemicals, which Gardaí believe could have...
Sounds more tea.
500 million euros worth of drugs.
Rory O'Shea, in the house.
Siobhan, standing, lays down her mug. Michael twitches as Rory wheels himself in to join them. Arms folded, Siobhan looks at him.
Where were you? Michael was worried sick about you.
Were you worried about me, Michael? Escaping from jail.
I was down to go at 11:30 tonight. I'm not charging you this time, but you better know I've a life of my own.
Well, no, I haven't.
That's not what I meant.
It wasn't her fault. You're not in shiny pyjamas here. Says I have to leave you alone.
5 minutes, Rory. I can either get you ready for bed in that time, or you can sit there and slag the both of us. Up to you, but in 5 minutes, I'm
come
not that
back,
Rory.
Delilah. All is forgiven. Don't you lecture me about responsibility. If it wasn't for me, you'd still be sitting in your own shite in Cargmore, spelling out toilet in that piece of card.
Don't say that.
Don't tell me what to do.
Siobhan spins round, picks up her coat and scarf and storms out of the kitchen. Rory's eyes are ablaze. Michael watches her go, then looks at Rory. Rory backs away, turns the chair and goes into his room. Tight-lipped and with a set jaw, he stares miserably ahead. He stops with his back to Michael. Michael moves away from the kitchen table and comes out to the doorway. He stops and looks at the back of Rory's head.
I don't want your help. I don't want anyone's help.
Rory looks vulnerable. Hearing the door, Michael turns his head. He moves backwards as Siobhan comes into the hall and stands by Rory's room door. She walks in and shuts the door. She lays down her coat, scarf and bag, then leans down and touches the controls on Rory's chair, moving it back, then turning it round so he's facing her. She propels him slowly backwards away from her. His eyes are fixed on her. She kneels down in front of the chair, lifts the hem of his jeans and starts to unlace his Doc Marten-style boots. Her face is sullen and she concentrates only on the boots. Rory stares out in front of him. Using the hoist, she manoeuvres Rory, encased in its canvas support, down onto his bed. She unfastens the restraints. She removes the canvas from under his buttocks, then leans over behind him to lift it clear. Gently, she places her hand behind his head. She removes the buckles holding the canvas support and lifts it over his head with her other hand. When it's clear, she lowers his head onto the pillow. His knees are bent and pointed up. She pulls his duvet over him and takes it right up to his neck, making sure his right arm is not under cover. She smooths the duvet around him, then places his hi-fi remote in his hand. Rory's thumb hovers over it. Finally, Siobhan picks up her stuff and walks out of the room. Rory lies in the soft light coming from a bedside lamp on either side of his bed. Michael's also in bed, illuminated by a bedside light.
What?
You know?
She's not on our side. She's paid to do what we tell her to do.
I really love you.
No, Michael, man. You haven't told her how you feel, have you?
Help me.
Help you? Help you what? Help you make a prick of yourself? Man, what have you got to offer a woman like that? Comp on to yourself. Get a tape recorder and fucking listen to yourself. Stop for a minute and take a look at yourself in a mirror.
Michael lies on his back, his eyes flicking from side to side. In his bed, Rory's eyes are filled with unshed tears. Siobhan glances across at him, then takes more washing from Michael.
You boys really need some new clothes.
She takes a peg from several clipped to Michael's hair, then reaches for another.
Thank you.
He smiles. Rory's father strides past.
How are you, Gil? Hello there.
Con has a four-pack of Guinness in his hand. He goes over to Rory.
Might be a bit early for this.
Jeez, it's never too early, Dad. Yeah.
Rory follows his father inside.
Fair play to you. A place of your own.
It's not really mine, Dad.
Con lays the Guinness down on a table and takes a blue envelope from his jacket pocket. In it, a birthday card with 21 today on it. He sets it down in front of Rory.
Happy birthday, son. The key to the door.
What have I told you?
Now listen, son.
Dad.
Rory doesn't look at Con, who leans over and kisses him.
Congratulations. Well done.
Con turns away and looks out of the window.
It's all gone so quickly. I wish I could have.
Siobhan and Michael are on a walkway by the River Liffey when a young man approaches.
Siobhan, hey.
He kisses her cheek.
You look great. How's it going?
Great, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
This is Michael, Declan.
They shake hands.
Great. Oh, look, I'm having a party on Saturday night. A fancy dress. You should come.
I don't know, I've...
She turns to Michael.
You want to go?
Great. I gotta go, but I'll see you around 9. And the doorbell's broke.
Yeah, I know.
Declan heads off.
Oh, there's another fella.
Bring him along. The more the merrier.
Both Siobhan and Michael are smiling.
Hey, party!
Siobhan's dressed as a comic book nurse.
Ooh. Hello, Dr. Strangelove.
Are you sure that's what Florence Nightingale wore?
Who cares?
She takes Rory's shades from him and tries them on. Michael enters.
Oh, oh, oh.
Hello.
He's in naval whites.
Doesn't he look handsome?
He looks great.
Michael turns and heads for the bathroom. Siobhan walks across the kitchen to pick up a half bottle of vodka, a bottle of ginger and a glass, then returns to the table. She sets down the ginger and the glass and pours some vodka.
Be careful.
He glances at Michael in the bathroom.
You know, someone might think tonight's their lucky night.
Still wearing his shades, she glances at Rory, then turns to see Michael posing in front of the bathroom mirror, his naval cap on his head. Michael comes out of the bathroom all smiles, and Siobhan nervously sips her drink. At the party, Declan's dressed as a buccaneer.
Siobhan!
Hello, Jack.
Great to see you.
Rory.
Rory, how you doing? You having a good time, yeah?
Yeah, great party. Did you drop me?
Come on, come on, see.
Say.
Declan skips off with Siobhan and they start to dance. Rory to Michael.
It's a trick.
They both watch Siobhan while a Laurel and Hardy duo serve drinks. Michael grabs a glass containing a straw and bending over it slurps down its contents. He sits back up to see Laurel glugging from a vodka bottle. Hardy grabs it from him. He looks back into the room where people are dancing. Siobhan chats and wiggles her hips. A large geisha's with Rory.
This is the war room.
Very good impression.
I know, I love these yourselves.
Siobhan kisses Michael as she passes on her way over to Declan, the geisha.
You're not here with anyone, are you?
Siobhan.
Which one's Siobhan? I saw her.
Come on. She's the one who nurses you in the front room.
Oh yeah, the naughty nurse. I did see her. Is she Declan's girlfriend? You smile.
Michael watches askance as Siobhan and Declan dance and laugh. The look,
well, maybe a little bit of hot. Do you like to watch? I'm a bit drunk now, but
Michael approaches Siobhan and Declan.
Fancy going to the karaoke there, Michael.
Declan.
He turns to Siobhan.
What did he say?
Feel my arms around you. Of course they will.
She moves beside Michael.
Don't tread on my feet.
He has an arm round her waist and the other on the wheelchair controls. She rests an arm on his shoulder. They slow dance in a circle, his eyes fixed on her face.
Who's your man? She looked after him.
Declan sips his beer as he and his friend watch Siobhan and Michael dance. Michael's head is close to her bosom. Siobhan looks across the room towards a solemn Rory who's watching her. The large geisha is still standing beside him. Michael's head rests against her stomach. She lifts his hand onto her waist as they spin slowly round. He kisses her arm. Michael clutches her with both arms. She struggles with him. Declan comes over. Rory watches silently as Siobhan retreats from Michael. Siobhan dances with Declan, who keeps a wary eye on Michael. Michael sits with his head bowed. In his bedroom, his naval uniform is hanging over a chair. Michael lies on his side in bed, the light still on. His eyes are open. Siobhan, still in her nurse's uniform, is in Rory's room. She places the hi-fi remote in his hand. Her face is sad. A wisp of her blonde hair covers her right cheek. She glances down at Rory, who looks up at her. Then she walks away.
Is your phone charged? I'll say goodnight then.
Siobhan, on her way out of Michael's room, stops at the doorway.
I'm sorry, Michael, but...
Rory, lying in bed, hears.
Do you have any feelings for me?
Michael, I'm paid to do what I do for you. That's my job. That isn't love. And what you feel for me, that isn't love either. It's gratitude.
She moves closer to the bed and looks down at him.
I like working for you, but... it is just a job.
Michael writhes on the bed. Tears roll down his face.
There isn't anything else going on here, Michael. Do you understand? There isn't anything else going on.
She Siobhan turns sharply and walks out of the room. Michael hears her leave. Day. Siobhan's feeding Rory.
I'm not hungry.
All three of them are at the table. Michael, sulking, doesn't look at Siobhan. Siobhan lays down the fork, folds her arms and leans on the table. She stares directly at the sullen Michael. All eyes turn to the door. Siobhan sighs, rises from the table and goes. Michael turns with an inquisitive look to Rory.
No, very well.
She leads a guy in.
This is Peter. He's a qualified PA. He'll be looking after you until you can find someone else.
Really? Well, he won't do. Michael likes them with bigger tits.
Peter looks inquiringly at Siobhan.
Michael, I made a mistake. I thought I could do this, but... I'm leaving.
Michael, don't beg. It's undignified. Michael, parakeets don't mate with armadillos. That's the end of it.
Siobhan glares.
That's a filthy, bloody thing to tell him.
Is it? It's the truth.
Oh, it's the truth you want, is it? Okay, here's some. If you want to be equal, then you have to show people the same respect that you demand of them. In the real world, if you insult some guy in a pub, you expect to get hammered. If you come home in the middle of the night, you don't expect to find the help waiting in. And if a woman says no to you, you accept that maybe you're not the right man for her. You don't assume you've an automatic right to love because you're in a wheelchair.
Siobhan, you said you were going, I think you should go. Fuck off. I mean it.
You know what your disability is? You're an arsehole.
Siobhan, her coat on, stands and stares at Rory.
Why does everything always have to be a fight with you? I can't help who I love. I can't help who I don't love.
Tears well in Michael's eyes. Siobhan shifts her gaze onto him.
It's not my fault, Michael.
She turns and starts to go.
Michael, let her go. Michael, let her go.
Michael follows her out into the rain. They both go outside and watch her leave.
Let her go.
Rory sits directly behind Michael, who breathes deeply, his chest moving in and out rapidly. His face contorted, Michael looks down the car park, raises his head to the sky, then moves off.
There you go. This is your home, Michael.
He drifts down the car park in the pouring rain. Rory follows him.
Michael!
Michael steers onto a modern illuminated pedestrian bridge over the Liffey. Rory still behind him.
Michael, are you going back to Carrickmore? Mm. It's suicide. Listen, I don't have time to kill myself that slowly, so if you're going back there, I might as well throw myself in this river now.
They're halfway across the bridge.
We didn't fuck it up. We fucked it up. The pair of us. Nobody did it for us.
Michael has stopped. Rory's caught up with him. Light glints off Rory's nose ring as he stares at Michael.
I know it hurts.
They both sit still, Michael looking at the river, Rory at him.
You're not the only one with a broken heart.
Michael slowly turns his head to face Rory and swallows.
You have the future, Michael. That's what I call a gift. Don't give it up. You can't give it up.
The faces of both lads are wet with rain, their hair flattened.
Sure, you've got the whole world in your hands.
A smile creases Michael's face. Rory starts to breathe rapidly.
You're all right. fucking wet as well.
They sit in the middle of the bridge at 90 degrees to each other.
Errol, am I going in the fucking river?
Michael's mouth grins as he forms his words. He moves his chair slightly.
Yeah, it is too high. Take a letter, Michael. The Dublin City Council. Dear sir or madam, as wheelchair users with suicidal intentions, I must protest to the lack of facilities. None of the bridges are equipped with easy parapet access, thus curtailing the rights of the disabled to throw themselves in. Yours in disgust, Rory Gerard O'Shea and Michael Connolly. Keep going, tell them.
They head back across the bridge. Day, the two of them are by the river with Peter. Michael nods.
Maybe you want to go to some sort of college someday. Or part time or something like that. University. Yeah, now, that'd be good, no?
Rory lags behind them.
Me, I like to study medicine. Become a doctor, right?
Yeah.
In front of the TV, Rory's resting his eyes.
Guys, you have a nice home here, you know.
Rory's eyes open. He looks tired.
But you shouldn't watch too much TV, eh? It's bad for the mind and bad for the eyesight. Why don't we go for a walk? It's a beautiful day, eh?
The two lads seem bored.
Maybe later.
He leaves them alone.
We're not keeping him, are we?
Michael smiles at Rory. In the middle of the night, the light goes on outside Rory's bedroom. He's lying in bed, his breathing laboured. Michael steers himself into the room and up to the bed. Michael lifts himself up. He places his hand on Rory's forehead. Outside, he watches as the unconscious Rory is wheeled on a stretcher into a waiting ambulance, its blue lights flashing. Rory has an oxygen mask over his mouth and nose. At the hospital, Michael sits outside where Rory's lying, his own face reflected in the window as he stares in on his unconscious friend. Peter arrives.
I'm just going to get some coffee. You want one? Okay, I'll be back soon.
In his duffel coat and sweater, Michael's looking through the glass pane of a swing door when a doctor comes up to him. He nods.
Your son's very ill. He has pneumonia. His heart and lung muscles are severely affected. Are you asking me if you can go in? He's very weak. Better to let him rest this evening.
She moves away from him.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. How long? Probably not more than a day or two. It varies a little with Duchenne, but it's usually around his age.
Michael looks round at her quizzically.
He'll have known that this was coming. He's not in any pain. He won't suffer.
She walks away, leaving Michael stunned. He turns his head back to the window and the door and looks through towards Rory. Con walks out of the intensive care unit, a world-weary look on his face. He closes the door behind him and tries to smile as he crosses to Michael and sits beside him. He takes his hat and coat from Michael.
He wants to talk to you.
Michael's head spins round sharply. In the ICU, Rory has a mask over his mouth and nose. Michael, at the bottom of the bed, swings himself round and moves closer to Rory until he's level with his hand. Rory opens his eyes. Michael sits up and raises his eyebrows.
There you are.
Michael's brow furrows.
I've been worried about you.
Michael stares intently at the figure in the bed in front of him.
Look at all this.
Michael looks all around.
You see? Rory O'Shea.
Michael points to his heart. Rory's eyes are on him. Then he closes them for a moment. Rory fixes Michael with a steady gaze.
Michael. You need nobody. Your own man.
The two of them stare at each other. Then Rory raises the forefinger of his right hand. Michael reaches over and with a strenuous effort moves his left hand towards Rory's right. He clutches Rory's forefinger with two of his. A tear falls down Rory's temple, and he closes his eyes.
Did bring Mysterio.
Michael shakes his head.
Wolf.
Michael's at home. He has a computer keyboard on his lap. He looks at the computer screen. Night. Michael is out on his own. He arrives at a street of terraced houses. His chair mounts the pavement and he arrives at a yellow door. He stops in front of it and wheels right up to it. He looks at the door, then leans forward, stretching out his left hand as he does so. Siobhan answers the door. She stands in front of Michael, strands of hair down her cheeks. She stares at him, looks away, then faces him again. He stares at her with his wide blue eyes.
Hi.
The hands of the chairman of the panel are clasped together as if in prayer. Michael and Siobhan are in front of the panel.
We know about Rory's condition, Michael. We appreciate you want to help your friend, but is now the right time for this?
Why did you come here today?
I'm his lawyer.
All right, if you want to. Rory's application for personal assistance was turned down on the grounds of insufficient responsibility. The grounds for appeal are given as prejudice. Would you like to explain why Rory feels the interviewing panel showed prejudice?
Michael struggles to open the hardback notebook on his knees. He does so and removes a sheet of foolscap paper from it. He hands it to Siobhan. She smiles at him. He sits up straight.
When I first met Rory,
I thought he was trouble.
And I was right.
Yeah.
He is trouble.
Yeah.
Yet because he's seen as a rebel,
You believe he hasn't the responsibility to live independently? But how do you learn to be responsible? You live in the world. You make your own decisions. You make your own mistakes.
Siobhan studies him.
So if this panel can offer independent living to someone like me, who until recently had no concept of what that meant, and refuse someone whose very life is an embodiment of independence. Then I believe that the panel showed a prejudice.
The woman on the panel squirms.
Michael, I think we're all aware of Rory's prognosis. What was your purpose in coming here today?
The panel members look at Michael, as does Siobhan, who sits by his side. Michael turns to Siobhan.
Right must exist independently of its exercise.
Michael turns back, looking vindicated. The panel chairman nods his head.
Okay. I think you can tell Rory that, in principle, he can have the services applied for.
A tear rolls down Michael's cheek. Siobhan and Michael are at the hospital. They slow down and stop in the corridor when they see Con up ahead, his head bowed. Con stretches out his arms, his hat in one hand. Michael makes his way up to Con, who once again bows his head and his shoulders droop. Siobhan, still in the corridor, screws up her face in anguish. Con takes Michael by the hand, then bends down and hugs him. Michael wraps his arms around Rory's father. A crowd are gathered in a graveyard.
Do not count his deeds against him, for in his heart he desired to do your will. As his faith united him to your people on earth, so may your mercy join him to the angels in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto Rory, O Lord.
The Carrickmore people are present.
May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Peter, Con and Michael are all there. Siobhan, standing behind Michael, rests a hand on his shoulder. Rory's empty wheelchair sits in his bedroom at the flat. The warning keep out sign is on the open door. Siobhan is sitting on the edge of Rory's bed. Michael is at the door in his chair, watching her. She turns her sad face to him.
All right. Can I do anything for you?
No.
She rises, walks around the bottom of the bed and goes over to him.
Thank you.
He holds up his right arm. She takes his hand. He raises his left arm and she grabs that hand too. She walks away, leaving Michael in his white shirt, black suit and tie, all alone. Michael studies the room intently. His eyes seem to be soaking in every single feature as they scan it in its entirety. When they fall upon the empty wheelchair, Michael glides towards it. Michael studies its high back and the headrest. Beyond it, Rory's ghetto blaster type hi-fi. His eyes rove up to the head support. He drops his gaze and looks sad.
Well, man, we going out?
Michael raises his head, stares at the empty chair and starts to smile, a little at first and then broadly.
Yeah. Okay.
A bright sunny day. Michael, with an open-neck shirt and sweater under his unfastened duffel coat, moves along the pavement, past flower sellers outside a massive stone building with wrought iron railings. He makes his way easily and confidently through the pedestrians and on down the street. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara was voiced by Aileen Downey.
Pick it and hold.